trying to be really brief, but I do feel like we might need to speak a little bit. We was on our way to Gallup the other day, and we got to Westmoreland, and you know how these electronic signs change. And Sheila said, what does 2 Chronicles 7:14 say? And I said, well, that one's been said a lot lately. I'd say that verse has probably been quoted as much in the past year as more than John 3:16. No doubt, it's been spoke a lot. And I've mentioned it. I've heard Brother Barry mention it. I don't know how many times lately. But I couldn't get away from it. It don't matter how many times it's been preached on. It don't make no difference. We still got to follow the Lord. So Solomon had built the house of the Lord. And we're going to start reading here in the 11th verse. In the 7th verse, it talks about where Solomon prayed. And the glory of the Lord come in the house so strong, the fire came down from heaven, the priest couldn't stay in there. That's the kind of power we need in the house of God. But in the 11th verse, it says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came to Solomon's heart to make in the house and of the Lord and his own house. And he prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among the people, if the people which are called, and this is the verse where she asked me about, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And I want to go over here and take for a text. And then, like I said, I'll try not to be very long. But Brother Barry mentioned this and several times also. And he said that this his house would have his name. And over here in 1 Peter in chapter 4 and the 17th verse, it says, for the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? And I begin to think about the things that we have suffered in this past year, the things that have happened in the past year that we've gone through. And I realize, listen today, when everything that happens, y'all pray for me that I can just be brief and just get out what's on my heart in a brief way, but yet make it very plain that where everybody understand. Amen. Listen, I believe in chastisement. Amen. I believe in a chastisement for Jeff Likens. I believe that. I believe that also in a chastisement of God's people and His church. Yes. Now listen, we've got to understand is God chastises His own. Amen. Now listen, our judgment begins here. The judgment that we're going to see, and we're paying for it here in this lifetime. I want you to realize we've got saved people that are scared to go into heaven because they're afraid to get there and they're going to have to pay all these terrible prices. Listen to me. It's going to be over when we get there. All that's going to be in the past. We're paying for what we do here today if you're one of His. You're going to pay with a rod. You're going to pay with punishment. Now, everything bad happens to you in your life is not the chastisement of God. It rains on the just and the unjust. Bad things happen to us even when we've not done wrong. But listen to me. When you have done wrong, God will let you know about it. He's never whooped me once that he didn't let me know why I was getting whooped for. It may take years down the road. I may think I've done got away with it. I may think he forgot about it. And then one day, all of a sudden, like, he'll bring me down to my knees. And just as soon as he does, I'll say, Lord, what's this about? And he'll let me know. You remember when you done this. And he'll humble me. I want you to know, listen to me, church. God is trying to humble us. He's done everything in his power in this past year alone to humble us. But we're still not repenting. We're still not humbling ourselves and praying. We're still not turning from our wicked ways. We're still traveling down the same road and speaking a different result. That is the definition of insanity. We need to stop it and turn back to God. You say, how's a church we do that? We come over here at this magic mirror. We're looking at it. We see ourselves. We start with me. Then we go to Lisa. Then Teresa. We get it in our homes. And when we each one get cleaned up, God's church will start getting cleaned up because we make up the church. And I want you to know, when we start humbling ourselves praying, he will hear our prayers. I believe that in all my heart. If I didn't believe it, I'd just give up and quit. I believe in my heart he's still answering prayers, Teresa. I believe what you said a while ago over here in 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter where it talks about the taking of the Lord's Supper. But in the 32nd verse, it said, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Listen to me. He is judging us and he is chastening us that we will not be condemned in the world. What did Peter say over a while ago? He talked about therein. He said, therein we will not be destroyed with the world. Listen to me. Honey, we're his children. What did Asaph say in the 73rd chapter of Psalms? He was almost jealous how the wicked prospered and went on. But he said then he went into the house of the Lord and he understood therein. Listen to me. You say, well, Brother Jeff, if we're going to get whooped like this for being saved, it'd be almost better not to be saved. Oh, no, it wouldn't. We're his children. My daddy, he loved me. Because he loved me, he straightened me up from time to time. He took me. We had an old smokehouse. They take you behind the woodshed. We had a smokehouse there behind the back corner of the house. He took me there many times as a boy, and he straightened me up. Listen to me, he done it because he loved me. Over in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, it says, your fathers chastise ye only for a season and for their enjoyment almost and for their pleasure is what it says. I want you to know, I don't think my daddy done it for a pleasure, but I want you to know he done it for a reason. The pleasure would be to see me grow up and do right in life. You don't think God don't want us to change? You don't think he don't love us? You think he takes pleasure in what's going on around here? People dying along in nursing homes, in the hospital. You think God's taking pleasure in that? No, sir. But he loves us enough. He loves our children enough to try to humble us, to get us back to where we can work and serve him and pray and labor and work again that they might be able to see the light and be saved by his grace. That's how much he loves us. He loves us enough to bring us down. And we won't humble ourselves. It said, humble yourselves. Everybody wants God to just bring them down. Honey, I'm getting tired of being brought down. I'm ready to start humbling myself. It's a whole lot easier when it's that way. Listen to me. We can't just keep going down the same road. You say, well, Brother Jeff, what have we done? What's Hilltop Church done? I want you to know she's not perfect.
Amen.
You know why I know she's not perfect? I've done looked in that mirror. You got me as a member and a pastor. That keeps her from being perfect. You know why else I know she's not perfect? Because I'm looking at you Sunday after Sunday. I see a bunch of imperfect people trying to serve a perfect God. Listen, I know about that because I'm one of them. But we can't just stop. We can't quit. Look at our babies. Look at our country. We don't have a lot of time left. We don't. I don't have much time left. My mama and daddy, my mama lived to be 85. My daddy lived to be 83. If I live that long, and I'm not guaranteed that. I ain't guaranteed today. But if I live that long, I ain't got long. But I'll be honest with you. I'm at a point now I really don't think I'll ever see death in that way. I really think I'm going to get to see Him. I really think that He's got to sit on the throne and look down upon all this. And He's got to see people who are not making no effort to turn back. Yeah. You say, well, Brother Jeff, I'm coming to church every Sunday. I'm doing the best. Are you really doing the best you can? Have you really, really, truly? You know what repentance does? It changes. My life has been changed. It changes things. True repentance changes things. When I truly repented for the first time, it changed my heart. It went from an old stony heart to a heart of flesh, one that come alive. And every time, ever since, when I truly repent, what I'm repenting of, I try my best to refrain from that. The next time the opportunity comes up for me to fail at that, I try to say, get behind me, Satan. That's what true repentance is. Your true repentance is not repenting, say I repent and I'm going to go out and keep doing it. That's not true repentance. True repentance is repenting to God, turning from your wicked ways. And then He said, then I will hear from heaven. Not until then. So we can speak to Him. Our mouth can draw close to Him and our hearts be far from Him. All we want to, and it won't change nothing. But when we shut up our mouths and open our hearts and mean what we say, what happened the first time you prayed and you truly meant what you prayed? I know what happened to me. I was born again with the Spirit of God. Everything changed. I was made new. Our country, Hilltop Church, needs to be born again. I'm not saying we need to be saved again, but we need to start off anew. We need to turn from it. Amen. You say, well, Brother Jeff, what errors have we got? We've got some. Yeah. We probably don't practice discipline nowhere near as well as we ought to, and that's including your pastor. You want to have a better year? Pray. You want to have a better life? Then pray. Stop playing around and pray. A while ago, I got through saying my words, my feeble prayer, and that's all it was. But then I heard Trace over here. It reminded me when I was a boy when women used to pray. I've got word, me and my wife take time about bless the food. There's nothing wrong with women praying. Matter of fact, I believe it does him a little good to hear from them every once in a while. We all worried, afraid we're going to sound like the ones on the corners praying just to be heard of men. I don't believe she was praying to be heard of Jeff like a while ago. But when she throwed my name in yonder, honey, it sailed me to the core. Praying changed things. Liz wanted us to thank y'all for praying for them the last 2 weeks. You know why? She knows it changed things. And I know it'll change things. I know he's there waiting for us. He's wanting us to come to him. He don't want to have to keep chastising us. He wants to bless us. Amen. He's waiting for us, Brother Tommy. He's waiting. So what's it going to take? Is 2021 going to have to be harder and rougher than 2020 was? Or are we about ready? Are we about ready? I'm about ready for a change. Children, listen to me. Prayer will change things. I'm not ashamed to humble myself. Don't be ashamed to humble yourself. Call on God. Brother Cliff, I love that old man. He'd say, you ain't nothing but a crying preacher. Amen. I ain't got no problem with that. I've been called a lot worse before. It's nothing, no shame in being humble. The shame is being prideful. So we see the world prospering out there. We see the wicked just going about their business, going about their merry way. And we're almost jealous of it. Listen, understand their end. Yes, we may be suffering this for a season. But honey, their end is going to be a lot worse because they will stand in front of the judgment of Almighty God. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew ye. But I'm going to stand in front of him with the blood. And it's been applied. And I pray I hear the voice, well done. Thy good and faithful servant. I want my God to be pleased with me. I preached what I preached on old-fashioned gospel, and I left there and I told you, I said, if this election don't go like it needs to go, I may go to jail. And I may have to take a stand someday and I may go to jail. But I'd rather spend my days in jail and have opportunity of hearing him say, well done. Amen. Than be a coward and not be worth my salt? We've got to change. And the only way we can do that is through repentance. God is chastising his people. We've been so worldly for so long that I don't even think we recognize it anymore. If you endure the chastising of God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is whom the Father chastiseth not? If you be without chastisement, wherefore are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and when we gave them reverence, we give our fathers reverence, just like I did for mine a while ago, because he loved me. He done it for that. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastising for the present seemeth. Now, no chastising for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which exercise thereby. Wherefore, lift up thy hands which hang down, and thy feeble knees. Don't give up. It's only for a season. We talk about where Peter talked about so many times, we've been tried before. Y'all heard me talk about how my pa, I watched him take, he'd do that little blacksmithing stuff. That's how he would work on his farm stuff back in. He'd take that old thing and he'd wind it. He'd take it like right there and it would blow a fan and it'd come up into the coals there and they would get hotter and hotter and that would just sparks come out of that. Woo, woo, woo. Every time he turned that knob, he'd take whatever he was working on, whether it be a horseshoe or some kind of cast or something, and he'd take it and he'd put it over on that fire and it'd just get hotter and hotter and hotter. Then he'd pull it out. He'd beat on it on that old anvil and start shaping it. And then he'd get it to shape he wanted and he'd put it in that oil and he'd cool it. He'd quench it. And it'd be harder than it was before. And it'd be shaped. When you come out from under the chastisement of God through the fire that you're going through, if you'll have faith in God, right now, he's got us on that spinning wheel and he's shaping us. He's hammering us on that anvil. He's got us red hot and he's beating us. It hurts. But he's trying to make us into something stronger, something he can take, a vessel that he can use. He wants to use you, but he can't use us the way we are. We've got to let him shape us. Make us into something. And when this is all over, he'll have something he can take pleasure in. If we'll humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. I hope somebody gets something out of this. A lot of scriptures that's been used this past year over and over and over. But let me tell you something. When we quit preaching the things over and over and over, then we've missed it. Me and Brother Larry was talking a week or so ago, and
And I talked to Marty about it. As a pastor, you think, well, I've preached on that before. We better not ever, you know, I keep, Lord, I'll try to talk to the Lord. I don't need to preach on that. Lord, I done preached on that before. Like he don't know that. What we got to understand is there's people getting saved. There's people joining the church last week that wasn't here 6 months ago, wasn't here 6 years ago when you preached that before. And more likely, most of them out there ain't going to remember what you preached 6 years ago anyway. So most of us ain't paying that much attention. So we keep preaching the same messages, maybe in a little different way, and hoping somebody like TJ will get it. He gets it today. And then he goes out yonder next week and he starts applying it. Amen. And then it starts changing Jordan. His life's a little different. And then Lori, she's thinking, wow, that is applying. This is working. Then Josh says, no, I'm going to get to take a trip one day. So we keep telling over and over and over, hoping somebody will get it. Is the day today we're going to get it, Anna? You want it to be better for your children, your grandchildren? Then get on your knees. Start asking God to help us. Don't just say words. I can't tell you how to pray. I can't tell you the words to pray. But I tell you to open up your heart to God and talk to him just like he's your daddy. Because if you've been born again, he is. He's listening. Ain't he, Teresa? He's still answering prayers. We're being chastised. What we do with that's going to be up to us. We can overlook it all and say, well, this is just happening. This is just happening. That just happened. Our children not getting saved like they used. It's just circumstances. We can keep on and we can keep on. Boy, we can finally say, it's us. Help us, God. Help us turn from our wicked ways. That's my message. Get a song.